Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Okay, we are back here. We had a wrong thing going on here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go straight to the advertisements that we had scheduled already, and I will be right back after those messages, and hopefully we can get the show going. I've got scheduled for 90 more minutes, so we'll be right back. We will be right back after these important messages.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
No one can really imagine what lifestyle our military families live while they serve to protect us, both foreign and domestically. These families say goodbye to their loved ones for months and even years at a time. They miss births, birthdays, Christmases, anniversaries, first steps, first words, and they are sometimes not even recognized upon their return. They move every 2 to 4 years, their children have to go to a new school, make new friends, and just to keep up with all the changes and losses while their parent is gone is hard work. A lot of people don't realize the financial burden of relocating a family time and time again. Not only that, but insurance rates change every time, coming up with first, last, and deposit for an apartment if there isn't housing available to you. Traveling home for emergencies that the military doesn't cover. The list goes on and on. People think the government covers all costs for us, and it's unfortunately not true. Because of all the troubles they have, families are at times in need of help and greatly need our patriotic citizens to give them a helping hand by sending in donations. SAMFAM, Inc. is a nonprofit 501c3 foundation that is dedicated to helping America's active military. We understand that separation is difficult, and being a single parent while your significant other is protecting our homeland is a burden that few can relate to. Our mission is to provide support, protection, and help boost morale and peace of mind for the active duty military. We also want to assist retired veterans. The families we help are chosen through essays. Now here is where we ask for help. Right now we can only accept checks made out to SAMFAM, Inc. That is SAM-FAM, Inc. 18 Eastern Avenue, Sackau, Maine, 04072, and that's SACO. Make sure to put my name or one of the other members' names on there so this can be credited with the right person. Your donations are tax deductible. Thanks in advance, and God bless.
We have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabbyish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Sunshine is in
Remember this? That was the headline in July 9th, 1992 edition of the Los Angeles Times. Representative Maxine Waters, Democrat of Los Angeles, Wednesday branded President Bush a racist who has polarized the racists in this country. Scott, does this sound familiar, folks? And this was reported in the article. Waters said that she has pledged to support Bill Clinton's presidential campaign, partly because the soon-to-be Democratic nominee is much better on the race question than Bush. Waters blurted out that the charges, that charge not after a few drinks at the Mayflower or a bad cup of coffee, that put her in a disagreeable mood. She's always in this kind of mood, but she leveled it at the National Press Club during a two-hour panel discussion on African-American attitudes on politics. She said that she wanted to say, quote, very clearly that I believe George Bush is a racist. I believe he is a racist for many, many reasons, unquote. The Times reporter noted that Waters' gem was met with wide-eyed stares from the audience. Still, she was undeterred, adding emphatically that Bush, quote, is a mean-spirited man who has no care or concern about what happens to the African-American community in this country. I truly believe that, unquote. This was evidently in contrast to Bill Clinton. Waters went on to say, quote, George Bush and Bill Clinton are decidedly different. I sincerely believe that Bill Clinton really did attempt to get a civil rights bill passed in his state and could not get past legislature. She and fellow black voters would also have little trouble picking Clinton for president over Bush. It was a nasty charge. Did Maxine later apologize for it? No, she doubled down. Waters, apologies for her calling the president a racist, said follow-up headline in the Los Angeles Times. The context was Vice President Dan Quayle's defense of his boss against Waters' smear. But Maxine was having none of it, the article reported. Listen carefully. Representative Maxine Waters, Democrat, Los Angeles, advised Vice President Dan Quayle from afar on Saturday. There will be no apology for her calling President Bush a racist. Dan Quayle doesn't know me, she said in an appearance in Inglewood. My mother couldn't make me do that. Waters' message, greeted with applause and loud whoops from a largely African-American crowd, came 2 days after Quayle's demand that Democratic presidential candidate Bill Clinton publicly apologize for the comment about Bush by the congresswoman. Waters serves as one of the Clinton's national campaign co-chairs. Neither Quayle nor a spokesman for him could be reached for comment that Saturday. Waters set the stage for a hubbub early last month when she made racist accusation against Bush at the National Press Club in Washington. Waters charged that the president is a mean-spirited man and has no care or concern about what happens to the African-American community in this country. Quayle received the issue, or revived the issue, that Thursday during a campaign stop in a small town, Ohio, where he was asked about a recent personal attack by Clinton by one of Bush's top campaign ads, where Quayle said, if you want to talk about negative campaigning, look at what Waters said about George Bush, Quayle said. She called George Bush a racist. Calling him a racist is totally unacceptable, and Bill Clinton ought to apologize. Nope. No apologies, none from Maxine, none from Bill Clinton, none from a single Democrat, George H.W. Bush, a lousy, stinking racist. Now, I mention this now, obviously, because liberals are upholding the late George H.W. as a paragon of decency and civility in politics and the presidency, which he indeed was. But in truth, he didn't treat Bush with decency or civility, nor his son, George W. Bush, nor his predecessor Ronald Reagan, nor Richard Nixon, or any in a long line of Republicans. They have long engaged in vicious name-calling and character assaults towards Republican opponents. Of course, their extolling of Bush's virtues has a hollow ring of insincerity, as their praise of Bush is no doubt intended to shed negative light on President Donald Trump. Bush is carefully hailed as a good man and thus as the anti-Trump. If only Donald Trump could be a gentleman, a kind man, and a moral exemplar like Bush. Bush is canonized in death as a momentary political saint for liberals in order to further expose the current devil in the Oval Office, St. George versus Demon Donald. As they proceed with the handy narrative, however, we should pause to remind liberals that they vilified George H.W. Bush, as they did his son, as they did Reagan, as they did Nixon, and on and on. And yes, they even called George H.W. Bush a racist. And now, when they dub Donald Trump a racist, they express amazement that those blockheaded, Kool-Aid-guzzling Trumpists will not take them seriously. Well, a whole lot of liberal nastiness over the years has led to so many of us never to take them seriously when they hurl over-the-top insults at Republicans, as they always have, and expect us to forget that they've done that when they come to a funeral and heap praises on him, going again years of racist comments. No, we don't believe them, but sadly, some like the media do. We all know the fable about the boy who cried wolf. Maxine Waters is the girl who cried racist. She's hardly alone. There's a slew of liberals who have cried racist over the years when there was none, when they never look at their side, but they never look at their side when doing that. And there are a lot of them there, aren't there? Okay, that was the article that I was going to get to. As when I kind of noticed that my show was already going off the air. But that was kind of a temporary pause in today's show, which was kind of interesting. As I had thought that I had done that, but I guess I didn't. I just left it at 15 minutes, and that's where it stayed. But this time I've changed it. It's now at 90 minutes. And, of course, our chat room is open if anybody wants to go in there. We've got the window open for it. The chat room is open. And as always, it's in a different window on this computer, which has only got a 13-inch screen. So it kind of makes it a little difficult to have my script open and my studio open and the chat room open and have them all visible. So the chat room is kind of behind everything, but I see it, but it's kind of behind everything. But we will continue with the show at the dawn of the information age, when dumb terminals began appearing on the desks, and the din of dot matrix printers deafened all and sundry. Every enterprise of consequence employed a misanthrope charged with the care and feeding of these machines. Occasionally, this reclusive individual reluctantly submitted to questions about the outputs, about the output of the equipment. His response to such impertinent queries usually consisted of word salads, heavily seasoned with jargon, topped off with a surly suggestion that it was just too complicated to explain to mere users. This is eerily similar to the way the Democrats relate to voters, and it seems many fall for this. The latest example can be found in a conversation between Slate's Dahlia Lithwick and Democrat Senator Mazie Hirono, the latter you will recall as the senator from Hawaii who commanded men in general to shut up when many of us had the temerity to question the outrageous smear tactics that she and other Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee deployed in their disastrous attempt to derail the Senate's confirmation of now Justice Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. Lithwick asked the senator, what is the thing the Democrats need to be saying about why the courts matter? Hirono responded to this as follows. I wish I had the answer to that, because one of the things that we Democrats have a really hard time is connecting to people's hearts. But we have a really hard time doing that. And one of the reasons it was told to me that at one of our retreats was that we Democrats know so much that is true. And we have to tell everyone how smart we are so that we have a tendency to be very left-brained. That is not how people make decisions. Now, before we get to the stunning hubris of that answer, consider the patronizing premise of the question. Lithwick assumes the electorate's failure to rise up and demand that the Senate stop carrying out its constitutional functions with regard to presidential appointments to the Supreme Court is due to its inability to understand why the courts matter. It has obviously never occurred to her that the voters actually have quite a firm grasp on the importance of the judiciary, and that this is exactly why they want President Trump and a GOP-controlled Senate to determine which jurists will plant their posteriors on the federal bench. As to Hirono's claim that Democrats know so much, this is only true if she meant that the members of her party are like people in the witness protection system who know so much that they constitute a danger to themselves and anyone affected by their actions. Remember, Reagan once famously said that Democrats are good people, but their trouble is that they know so much that isn't true. Now, it is true that the Democrats are affected with an irresistible urge to tell everyone how smart they are, even while proposing something stupid. The poster child for this kind of Democrat, of course, is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She can only be considered left brain in the sense that she left it somewhere and she can't seem to find it. Here's her idea for funding Medicare for all. $21 trillion of the Pentagon financial transactions could not be tracked, documented, or explained. $21 trillion in Pentagon accounting errors. Medicare for all costs, $32 trillion. That means 66% of Medicare for all could have been funded already by the Pentagon. And that's before our premiums. Now, that tweet was so dumb that even the Washington Post called her on it, but the tweet is still up, probably causing some confusion, so we will award 4 Pinocchios to Ocasio-Cortez. But that dubious distinction didn't really capture the Ocasio-Cortez problem. Pinocchio's besetting sin was lying, something that prevaricating puppet had in common with the erstwhile President Obama while discussing the risibly titled Affordable Care Act. Ocasio-Cortez is not very smart. And this is by no means unique among Democrats. Remember when Democrat Congressman Hank Johnson fretted that Guam was in danger of capsizing? Yeah, I remember that one. He said the population was getting so much in Guam that it might capsize. I remember that. And the discussion of smart Democrats is complete without some mention of former Vice President Joe Biden. His gaffes got so bad during the 2008 presidential campaign that candidate Obama asked his staff, how many times is Biden going to say something stupid? Yeah, even Obama said that. And his braying frequently combines brainlessness with offensive racist slurs. Let me get this off of here so I can just hold it. Take, for example, his famous racial stereotyping of his state's convenience store employees. when he said, quote, in Delaware, the largest growth population is Indian Americans moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent, unquote. Imagine the fervor and hate that would accompany that statement if said by Trump. We would never hear the end of that, of how racist Trump was on that one. But nothing like that for Biden was ever brought up. Nothing like that for Biden was ever said. Of course not. They don't care. They don't think that Biden is that way. The only way that they would think that that was horrible is if a Republican said it. Even more terrifying than the apparent vacuum between Biden's ears is how little thought rank-and-file party members give to his catalog of verbal pratfalls. In a recent morning consult poll, the Democrats ranked him as their top preference for the 2020 presidential nomination. These people would give this guy access to our nuclear arsenal. Nor have Democrats Johnson and Ocasio sustained any reduction in their support pursuant to their inert gray matter. Johnson has just been reelected for his 7th term in the House, and the above noted tweet by Ocasio-Cortez got 26,311 retweets and 72,432 likes. Really? This is presumably what Senator Hirono is talking about when she said, in reference to left brain thinking, that is not how people should make decisions, she told Lithwick. We have to speak to their hearts, not in a manipulative way, not in a way that brings forth everyone's fears and resentments, but truly speak to their hearts. She certainly spoke to my heart when she attempted to deny Brett Kavanaugh due process during his confirmation hearings, putting both him and his family through all kinds of hell with no thought to the damage she was doing to our judicial system. And it definitely spoke to my heart when she also placed the blame on the guy who wrote this article. But really, guess who's perpetuating all of these kinds of actions? It's the men in this country, she said. To say the men in this country just need to shut up and step up. Do the right thing for a change. Was that smart? It did permit her to raise a little extra campaign cash. On the other hand, her posturing along with the antics of her accomplices almost certainly killed the 2018 re-election bids of 4 Democrat senators who voted against Kavanaugh. And it helped enlarge the GOP majority in the Senate to 53-47. That means a lot of conservative judges will be confirmed during the next 2 years if they're put there, if they're put up, and perhaps another Supreme Court justice. Finally, if her fellow brainiacs in the House impeach President Trump, she has helped to kill any chances that he'll be convicted. Smart? Well, it's just too complicated to explain to mere voters. At least that is what the left is saying, isn't it?
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Vietnam was the war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefields, but where the enemy was nothing more than ghosts in the jungle, and they were superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol, 6 men who fought the whole war together, spreading death and destruction along with vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the enemy with precision and cutthroat accuracy. Now, years later, Matt Joseph works as a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, with his own business, the Matt Joseph's Investigation Company. His best friend and former commander of the Vampire Patrol is chief of police of the South Tucson Police Department. The job that gets Matt on the case is one that brings the Vampire Patrol back from its past and places it smack dab in the middle of the present, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Lukachukai in northern Arizona.
There, a mountain named Roof Butte not only holds mystery, but a cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the evening sky. Matt is the one who has been hired to find out what is going on there, and without becoming a part of the nasty plan going on in the area. Night Owls is the first in a new series of mysteries with Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://www.createspace1word.com/486-9187. That's www.createspace.com/486-9187. It is also available in digital form too, and on Amazon also. That's Night Owls, Matt Joseph Mystery by Robert P. Garding. Buy it, read it, and enjoy the reading experience again. Order Night Owls today.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now, that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Okay, coming up on the end of the night, I hope that will have an answer to Judy Sanders. The fan told him of their Trump joke with a Trump joke and a camera in his face because he's been charged with a crime, TMZ learned. Law enforcement sources tell us that George will have to appear in court next month on a misdemeanor battery charge for allegedly roughing up a guy who tried filming him at a Hooters in October as the comedian was leaving the restaurant. We broke the story. George grabbed the back of the young man's neck. A guy who had previously asked to take a picture with the comedian. The guy jabbed George with a Trump joke, and then all hell broke loose as George was on his way out. According to the police report obtained by TMZ, cops tracked George down the next day at a golf course and asked for his side of the story. Basically, George told cops he didn't want to be filmed, and that's why he tried grabbing the guy's phone away. George also told cops he believes the guy was trying to bait him by lying in wait at the front door and throwing out MAGA jokes, knowing George is vehemently anti-Trump. The officer says he informed George he'd be receiving a court summons for a misdemeanor battery and that George was compliant. We see this so often, time after time, where the celebrities attacking Trump always come crashing down. It shows you their true character, and if they were not celebrities, most likely they would be another lowlife, likely, and they'd probably be in jail right now. George Lopez is not. As we head into the final hour of the show, I'm having to head farther down into my stuff here, and I am now at the part where I need to be and get ready for the second hour.
We will be right back after these important messages for the second hour of the show.
No one can really imagine what lifestyle our military families live while they serve to protect us, both foreign and domestically. these families say goodbye to their loved ones for months and even years at a time. They miss births, birthdays, Christmases, anniversaries, first steps, first words, and they are sometimes not even recognized upon their return. They move every 2 to 4 years. Their children have to go to a new school, make new friends, and just to keep up with all the changes and losses while their parent is gone is hard work. A lot of people don't realize the financial burden of relocating a family time and time again. Not only that, but insurance rates change every time, coming up with first, last, and deposit for an apartment if there isn't housing available to you. Traveling home for emergencies that the military doesn't cover. The list goes on and on. People think the government covers all costs for us, and it's unfortunately not true. Because of all the troubles they have, families are at times in need of help and greatly need our patriotic citizens to give them a helping hand by sending in donations. SAMFAM Inc. is a nonprofit 501c3 foundation that is dedicated to helping America's active military. We understand that separation is difficult, and being a single parent while your significant other is protecting our homeland is a burden that few can relate to. Our mission is to provide support, protection, and help boost morale and peace of mind for the active duty military. We also want to assist retired veterans. The families we help are chosen through essays. Now here is where we ask for help. Right now we can only accept checks made out to SAMFAM Inc. That is SAM-FAM, Inc. 18 Eastern Avenue, Sackau, Maine, 04072, and that's SACO. Make sure to put my name or one of the other members' names on there so this can be credited with the right person. Your donations are tax deductible. Thanks in advance, and God bless.
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE. To talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Okay, Ocasio-Cortez. I've talked with her about her quite a bit, actually. Claim the health insurance companies essentially act as death panels for choosing to cover certain treatments and not others is a highly erroneous, reckless comment, as most of her comments are. For starters, health insurance companies are heavily regulated, some of the most heavily regulated companies in the country, in fact, and they are already forced under the Affordable Care Act to cover essential health treatments, including emergency services, hospitalization, and some non-emergent treatments like substance abuse services. States have numerous additional essential health mandates. The National Conference of State Legislatures note there are more than 1,900 such statutes among all 50 states. Another analysis tallies more than 2,200 individual statute provisions adopted over a 30-year period. She neglects to mention the same sort of death panels that come with Obamacare. But this woman is wrong in so many ways that even a child should know it. But sadly, she has convinced too many people she knows that she knows what she is talking about, that she now resides in a congressional seat. Here is where we are heading as a nation. If not stopped, we'll no longer be free and with any liberties left. From the Daily Signal, Democrat Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who will represent a New York district in Congress come January, has once again shown herself impervious to facts when it comes to a single-payer health care. On Sunday, Ocasio-Cortez engaged in a brief Twitter sparring match with Jim Hansen, the president of the Security Studies Group. The exchange began after Hansen commented that under governmental management health care, Democrat socialist overlords would decide who will live and who will die, adding hashmark panels rock at the end of his message. Ocasio-Cortez, a vocal supporter of independent Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders' Medicare for All proposal, a plan that would transform the current U.S. health care system into a single-payer model, responded to Hansen by alleging that, quote, we have for-profit non-panels, death panels now. They are companies and boards saying you're on your own because they won't cover a critical procedure or medicine, unquote. Ocasio-Cortez claimed that health insurance companies essentially act as death panels for choosing to cover certain treatments and not others is a highly erroneous and reckless statement. For starters, health insurance companies, like I said before, are heavily regulated, some of the most heavily regulated companies in the country. In fact, they are already forced under the Affordable Care Act to cover essential health treatments, including emergency services, hospitalization, and some non-emergency treatments like substance abuse services. It's simply not true that there are all sorts of serious health problems health insurers don't cover, which is clearly what Ocasio-Cortez was suggesting in her Twitter post. Second, the death panels she described aren't death panels at all. Death panels are composed of government bureaucrats or policymakers who decide which health care treatments will be covered by a single-payer or government-run health care system. The reason they have been labeled death panels is because under many single-payer proposals, the government is the only insurer, which means it has complete power to decide which services will be covered. There are no other options in a single-payer system. Either the government will choose to pay for your care or it won't. And if it chooses not to, then you're out of luck, unless, of course, you're a millionaire like Sanders. Ocasio-Cortez says that because health insurers can choose not to cover certain services, that means they have death panels too. But that's totally false. In a true market-based system, if my health insurance company were to refuse to offer me a plan covering all the services I'm most concerned about, I could simply go to another health insurer who would. If enough people want a particular health service covered, insurers would surely offer it. That's how the markets work. Since Ocasio-Cortez majored in economics, she should understand that basic universal economic principle. If there is demand for a product or service, someone out there will supply it. Third, in opposition to this argument, Ocasio-Cortez might argue that all of the insurance companies could decide to drastically raise the cost of covering important health treatments, acting as a de facto death panel by making health insurance so expensive that people can't afford to buy good health insurance plans. Well, what was happening under Obamacare? People were getting hit with bills that were so high they couldn't afford them, and they dropped them. But it goes on to say, but if you're going to apply the term death panel in such a way that it can be used to describe anyone that makes health insurance too expensive, then the federal government is already the country's biggest death panel. No one has done more to raise the cost of health insurance in the past decade than President Barack Obama and the Democrat-led Congress that passed the Affordable Care Act in 2010. And I don't have a problem with saying Democrat-led because not a single Republican voted for it, but it still passed. Since the Obamacare exchanges were first opened in 2013, health insurance premiums have at least doubled. Even worse, Obamacare deductibles right now are so high that most people cannot afford to use health insurance that they purchased. Health Pocket reports that the average maximum out-of-pocket cost for a family enrolled in Obamacare Bronze Plan, the cheapest plan available on the exchange, is over $14,000. Ocasio-Cortez should know better. Elected leaders who go to Washington with a plan for radical change carry the burden of proving their case to the public, and in that, Ocasio-Cortez has woefully failed. Yet, she became a congresswoman. You are listening to the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, or NWCR, I've been calling it, and I am your host, Robert Garding, with the second hour of the show. That is all about removing the liberal blindfold, folks, that the liberals so want there. Welcome back.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Henners of Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert, who are not afraid of the wrath of the left when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda for us. From the crossroads of America comes the second hour of the show.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. From the Washington Free Beacon comes this one. Just one of several socialist Democrat candidates who played fast and loose with the rules. Congresswoman-elect Rashida Tlaib, Democrat of Michigan, did not disclose the name of the source of funds for a fellowship that was paid by liberal billionaire George Soros, as required by the House Ethics Committee, and also disclosed a lesser amount than she received, according to a review of the tax and financial disclosure forms, and yet she was elected. Of the Washington Free Beacon obtained the most recent copies of tax forms for a number of Soros organizations, including the Open Society Institute, the legal name for the Open Society Foundations, the entity in which Soros pushes millions in funding to a number of liberal causes and organizations, an expenditure of $85,307 to Rashida Tlaib in Detroit, Michigan, from 2017 is shown on page 97 of the 321-page report to increase involvement of disenfranchised urban communities of color with their local governance process by creating a community benefit strategy for equitable development and creating a leadership training for impacted residents focused on negotiation skills and identifying leverage at the local level. And that's what it said. Tlaib did not report any income in the amount of $85,307 on the financial disclosure forms submitted as she was running for office, which identified the names of the sources that provided her income in 3 of 4 cases. DeLab received compensation from the Maurice and Jane Sugar Law Center, Wayne State University, and Metro Solutions, the form shows. However, the fourth reported source of earned income is marked as a leadership in government fellowship that does not identify who provided the payment. That is against the law. A press release from 2016 shows that DeLab was shown for a leadership in government fellowship by Soros's Open Society Foundations, along with 7 other individuals. The 8 fellows chosen from the senior ranks of federal, state, and local government will work on a wide variety of issue areas, devising new ways to bring criminal justice reform to local prosecutors' offices, developing new strategies for helping school children exposed to trauma, improving life outcomes for low-wage workers, immigrants, and boys and men of color, and closing the digital divide and more. The release reads, a spokesman for Soros Open Society Foundation said Talab's fellowship was terminated earlier this year when she informed the group she would be running for Congress. Yeah, they're covering their ass again. Kendra Arnold, executive director of the Foundation for Accountability and Civic Trust, a Washington, D.C.-based watchdog group, said that Taleb's failure to report the source of her income is problematic due to the rules requiring that the income source be identified. Candidates are required to disclose the name of the groups and organizations that provide their source of income, according to the manual on financial disclosure statements from the U.S. House of Representatives Committee of Ethics. Now, if this had been a Republican who had done this, Taleb would probably be one of the people going against them for doing just this. But she did it herself. Identify the source by naming the organization, corporation, or other entity making the payment. It is not necessary that the individual clients of a business be named, only that the business itself, the manual states on page 31. For example, on Schedule C, an editor would report the name of the publishing firm as a source of earned income, not the clients for whom the work was performed. Describe the type of income as salary, commissions, fees, pensions, etc., as appropriate. The $68,307 income marked for leadership, or actually it was the, for the leadership and government fellowship on the financial disclosure forms is also $17,000 less than the $85,307 that was marked as being paid out by the Soros Group. Arnold said that this discrepancy is not as clear as and could be the result of hard costs associated with the program. Filers must report the exact amount of income earned by them, the ethics manual reads. Filers are not required to report an amount for their spouse's income. Rather, they should report N/A in the amount column. Filers, however, are required to report the exact amount of an honorarium received by their spouse. Taleb was paid $139,873 by Soros Group in 2016, tax forms show. Between 2016 and 17, Taleb received a total of $225,180. Taleb didn't receive any income from the Open Society Foundations in 2018, Soros spokesman said. Taleb's campaign acknowledged receiving the Washington Free Beacon's inquiry, but did not explain why the source of funding was excluded from her financial disclosure forms and why the amount is lower than what she had actually received by press time. Update: Jonathan Kaplan, the communications officer for the Open Society Foundation, sent the following quote after publication. Rashida Taleb was awarded a leadership in government fellowship from the Open Society Foundations in the fall of 2016. Her project to focus on increasing the civic participation of disenfranchised urban communities of color. When Ms. Taleb informed us that she was planning to run for Congress, we mutually agreed to suspend her fellowship, and no further payments were made. I don't know. We need to discuss that more, I think.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend. You were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No. Not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You aced vehicle history searches and test drives. You out-salesmen to the salesmen. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll have the info you need to get more for your future. Go to aceyourretirement.org, because when it comes to speeding past financial challenges, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? When a tornado is tearing through town? Or a hurricane strikes? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Number is 646-478-5284. If you want to join, House of Representatives may fail in historical terms as previous midterm elections, but that isn't stopping this rancid crew of neo-Stalinists from ruling as if they have had a 200-plus seat mandate. As promised, The Nancy Pelosi-led House will not be devoting much time to actually governing or working constructively to resolve issues that matter to the lives of real Americans, but will be transforming Washington into a modern version of 1936 through 38 Russia, when their ideological inspiration, Joseph Stalin and his henchmen, conducted the infamous Moscow trials to purge the political by pinning up bogus charges. And that's what's coming, folks. We have to realize this. According to a new report, no fewer than 85 investigations are on tap for the Democrats as they seek to eliminate President Trump through trickery and abuse of power, so they don't have to face him in the 2020 election. Via the Hill, Dems eye 85 targets for investigation, subpoenas report. Democrats are eyeing 85 subjects to related to the Trump White House for investigation and subpoenas now that they will have control of the House, according to Axios. Axios, citing its own reporting and public statements made by the Democrats, reported on Monday that the party will investigate topics ranging from President Trump's tax returns to his family separation policy to White House security clearances. The investigations and subpoenas are not likely to all come down immediately. Axios reported Representative Adam Schiff, Democrat, California, likely the next chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, told the news outlet that each committee will prioritize what it sees as the most important subjects. Schiff also said that the House investigations of Trump will include a probe of his threats against some news organizations, particularly the Washington Post and CNN. According to Axios, there's a small here's a small sample of what to expect in the next 2 years, folks, and you need to listen to me. President Trump's tax returns. If that doesn't work, President Trump's family businesses and whether they can comply with the Constitution's emoluments clause. Including Chinese trademarks grant to the Trump organization. If that doesn't work, Trump's dealings with Russia, including the president's preparation for his meeting with Vladimir Putin. Russia is back again. Payment to Stephanie Clifford, a.k.a. Stormy Daniels. Next one, James Comey's firing. Trump's firing of U.S. attorneys. Sadly, folks, this is something Trump as president has every right to do, but they've got an investigation coming over that one. Person proposed transgender ban for the military. Again, he has the right to do this in order to keep our military, our soldiers safe, but the Democrats have a plan to investigate him on this thing. The next one, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin's business dealings. If this doesn't work, White House staff's personal email use. They're going to emails now. Remember, we had this whole thing about Hillary and her emails. Now they're going after the Trump's White House staff's personal email uses. They're learning from things that we have done to them, but they are more apt to completely go after these things, folks. Next one, Cabinet Secretary travel office expenses and other misused perks. Another one, discussion of classified information at Mar-a-Lago. Another one, Jared Kushner's ethics, law compliance. Another one, dismissal of members of EPA Board of Scientific Counselors. Another one, the travel ban. Another, family separation policy. Another, hurricane response in Puerto Rico. Another, election security and hacking attempts. Another, White House security clearances. Stalin himself would be so proud. The sad part of this is that as president, Donald Trump has every right to do these things. Most presidents have, and of course, the Democrats didn't push investigation. God knows how much. But it kind of, I don't know what the heck is going on with BTR today, but it says my show is ending again. So I'm gonna end it this time, the way that it was. But we've got to remember here when we elected these Democrats to the offices that we did. This is what we're gonna get because they feel they have a mandate to do what the people want. The thing is, people don't want this. We are being charged for all of this. We have no clue how much we're being charged for, but it's coming, my words, and the Democrats are going to push all of this because they feel now they've got a mandate to do so. This is ridiculous, folks, and this is how it's going to be for the next couple of years until we get smart and vote them back out of office. It has to be done, folks. We are so glad that you were here with us today. And as we move into another week, we can be assured of one thing. There will be more news that is befitting another show next week. I wish to thank all of you who listened to the show today and know that I will be back next week, same time, same network, same channel. Until next week, my friends, God bless America, God bless our troops and Israel. And remember, as a friend of mine used to always say, we will not be ruled. Have yourself a great day, and I'll see you next week.
Hello, this is the IIAP, the Illegal Immigration Assistance Program, a taxpayer-funded division of OAPNUT for Spanish Press 1, Portuguese 2, Arabic 3, Farsi 4, French 5, Swahili 6, German 7, Italian 8, and if you insist on English, please stand by. If you're thinking about illegal immigration, be careful when you're choosing the nation, because breaking the law in some countries is frowned upon. Imagine that. Sneak into China, they'll call you a spy and ship you to Mongolia till you die. And in the Sudan, they'll hang you and the camel you rode in on. Yeah, don't go hiking and enter Iran, or you might never be heard from again. And in Mexico, you might face a firing squad. Yeah, forget all about going to North Korea. That's a great example of a bad idea. So when it comes down to it, there's only one option you got. Yeah, come to the USA. There's no penalty to pay should you get caught illegally immigrating. Come to the USA. It will be your lucky day. Cause when you get in, there's lots of goodies waiting. Like health care, welfare, free education, help with your voter registration and driver's license and credit cards and license plates for your car. Lots of jobs for you to do and employers who'll turn a blind eye to. Come to the USA. Give citizenship to your new baby, so you see, there's really only one choice for you. Come to the USA. There's no penalty to pay should you get caught illegally immigrating. I said, come to the USA. It will be your lucky day. Come when you get in, there's lots of goodies waiting. Yeah, you get public housing and cable TV and food stamps and even government cheese. The borders are a swinging door. Go home for a visit and come back for more. There's sanctuary and amnesty. Bring the whole family eventually. Yeah, come to the USA.
God bless you all.